have a question, comment, or tip, call the Webcomics Weekly hotline at 214-717-5487. We might play your message on the show.
Constantly.
Yeah, well, life's a distraction, Chris.
That's right.
That's why it's important.
This is like a Hell's Kitchen thing. You're like, do you hear that sound? That's the sound of somebody shipping. You better get used to it. it's going to be distracting throughout the whole podcast. But you
welcome
know what?
To the Tough Love episode of Webcomics Weekly. I am your de facto host, Scott Richard Kurtz. The Richard was named after my grandfather, for those of you wondering. And with me tonight is our entire panel of half pixel, half wits. Am I right?
But I'm bump.
Over in the East Place is Brad Geiger.
Evil-comic.com.
I'm Mr. Cold Miser. I'm Mr. Snow. I'm Mr. Icicle. I'm Mr. Ten Below.
Frightening. With us in the West Place is Dave Kellett, SheldonComics.com.
Oh, well, along that theme, Brad, I always wanted to be a dentist. Weird Rankin Bass reference for everyone out there. Or Rankin Bass, I always say it wrong. Do you guys remember that character, the little elf that wanted to be a dentist?
Yes, the guy, the little elf that was like...
Who was also the most effeminate guy in the world.
Shockingly gay, considering that it was...
I just want to be a dentist. Oh, Marigold. Yeah.
Could have got Charles Nelson Reilly to voice him. It would have been perfect.
Whoa, I want to be a dentist.
Dentistry is pretty gay, though. In all seriousness. You guys
seriously,
got their number.
Yikes.
Oh, I don't know. I think it's a good – I mean, you get to hang out with all the hot dental hygienists. That went nowhere. I'm sorry.
That actually was a very serious – like, that is true.
Is that just me? I mean, I always thought dental hygienists are kind of, you know, happening.
Sitting with me here Brad's... in the central place is Christopher Straub, starslip.com.
Oh, come on. It's rotten.
What?
He went from Christmas themed to Kitchen Nightmare.
Exactly. That's my current crush.
Come on, give us a Christmas crush. Give us a Christmas tag. I'm editing out that crap.
That crap? All right. Oh, come on. Christmas is rotten. I don't got no Christmas. I'm Jewish.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Not really.
Mary Jumas. Okay. That was in 30 Rock. Kenneth the Page is handing out gifts. He's going, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. He hands it to the Jewish guy. And he goes, Merry Jewish. All right. Introduce me. Dang it.
I thought you did.
No, I introduced you.
You were Scott Richard Kurtz.
Oh. But I don't. What about my URL? Do I not matter?
That's true.
Okay.
Scott Richard Kurtz can be found at pvponline.com, and he's in the central place of my heart.
And what happened then? Well, in Whoville, they say that the Grinch's heart grew 3 sizes that day.
There you go. That's how it's done, Chris. Boo on Chris.
Wait, I have Chris in my name, and it's even spelled like Chris Kringle, so I'm That's more right. Christmassy than you guys.
Or are you? And... Hey, tonight we have some of our voicemails from our brand new hotline. And don't forget, you can reach us at our new Webcomics Weekly hotline. Leave your comment, question, or tip at 214-717-5487. Wait a minute. We have a stinger for this now. Why did I say the words like a sucker?
Is it on here?
Uh-huh. It's called Stinger.
Let's hear it.
Have a question, comment, or tip? Call the Webcomics Weekly hotline at 214-717-5487. We might play your message on the show.
I don't know when it's over.
I don't know when it's over either. You were counting down, and then you just went to multiple fingers.
It's pretty much done.
It's like, is it still going? I think it's one
it's
of the
30 seconds long.
I think the stinger at right. the end is like down, wow.
It just
yeah, it's, wow. Yeah. It's mood music at the end.
Thanks to GarageBand for that.
Oh, we could have left that running.
Anyway, so
Christmas.
Do we want to?
I'm going to try to make up for it all evening. Stockings.
So, do we want to start with one of our voicemails from the hotline, or do we want to start with?
Let's do it. Yeah, let's start with one of the voicemails.
Let's jump right in with one from the hotline.
All right, here we go.
Hi, my name's Steven. I was wondering what you guys all consider the best way to advertise a comic you feel has a solid foundation directly to the people who would be interested. Thanks.
All right, good question overall. How do you advertise a webcomic to the people who would be most interested in it? Who wants to jump on that one first?
I would. You know, when I left UGO and started doing advertising for the first time, I really tried hard to target sponsorships, not advertising in the sense like now where I sell on a CPM basis. But I would sell a sponsorship of the site where for like $1,500 you could sponsor PvP and you got all the page views.
No, I think the guy meant though, how do you advertise elsewhere to get
I was gonna say how do you get advertisers to put products on your page that your readers would like? He's asking
the reverse.
Right. Yeah. We can also talk about that, but let's tackle his question first.
That's actually tough. Hard because I was thinking about lately how I don't know a lot of webcomics that have like a real advertising budget. It's still a lot of word of mouth.
Yeah.
Is that not quantified?
You really don't need an advertising budget to do this. I think the best way you can do it is by, number one, identifying the community that your comic speaks to and then become an active member in that community, which means posting on message boards that those community members hang out at and those sorts of things. And every time you become an active member in that way, you're always leaving your URL in one format or another. And people are going to find you that way.
I will be the I kind of want to take that to an extension, Brad, is that I don't know, and maybe this is coming on too strong to say this, but I don't know that advertising works. And this is someone that has Project Wonderful ads on his site, and I'm actually actively thinking about taking them down because
really.
And just replacing them with ads for my store and different products in the store because it's a better. I think it's a better internal cycle to do it that way. But to back to the question, though, is I don't know that I have ever seen a webcomic ad that made me want to go see the webcomic.
Interesting.
Is that,
you know what?
Is that too strong? Can you guys think of an ad that made you want to go so badly? I mean, I tune out advertising to the nth degree.
But we may not be the ideal audience, though. I don't read webcomics hardly anymore.
But the only time I ever read a webcomic is when it's linked in somebody's blog, when it's an endorsement. It's never an ad.
It's not an ad. It's always word of mouth stuff.
That's true. That's what I'm. That I will definitely agree with that. Yeah. I
don't know.
Like
I'm kind of the odd man out here. I have followed advertisements and checked out webcomics on the basis of a good ad. Having said that, I very rarely add them to my bookmarks, but I will go and check them out.
I don't know if I've seen a good ad.
I did advertise my website and it paid off? Uh-uh. Is when we did those advertisements on somethingpositive.net.
He'll give you a real good return.
And
got
a return from him.
I paid for.
Yeah, me too. It was really cheap.
Yeah.
What kind of return did you guys get?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, it was
marked.
marked, noticeable.
Well, at the time, I don't know. I don't remember what my readership was, but I think I picked up between 400 and 700 readers.
Yeah, I got like the same.
Yeah,
like it shot up 1,000 maybe, and then you retained.
Right, that's part of the problem is that I think, I wasn't advertising Starslip; it was Checkerboard Nightmare at the time, and his strip is very sarcastic and very, and cruel in a way. And then Checkerboard Nightmare is 100% unrelated to that sense of humor. So I mean, a lot of people clicked through and stayed even, but that's the trouble with just like this. Bombing type of advertising, saturated, is that doesn't mean that people where you end up are going to be interested, you know?
Yeah.
But
I really feel the best kind of advertising you can do for your website is to get people to talk about it, word of mouth, in their blogs, and to endorse it in that sense. Because every other type of bot advertising I've done has not paid off in the same way that a blog endorsement does.
Yep. Yeah. Although, and you know what, though? I will go through, or I will amend my earlier statement, though, is that I think if you're going to advertise on a site, the best way to do it, and maybe this is so common sense that it sounds stupid to even say it, but find a strip that's very thematically similar or very aesthetically similar to your strip.
I think, yeah, that's going to maximize your odds.
Yeah, like mine's a fairly family-friendly strip, and if I were to advertise on – or, well, for example, I think one time I got a link from Penny Arcade, and almost none of that audience sticks around because, let's be honest, that's not my readership, nor is my readership Penny Arcade's readership, you know? But yeah. I bet if I got a link from Little D or something like that, there'd be a lot of readers that would stick around just because it's kind of similar mood, vein, artistic style, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to advertise, find somebody out there who – at least thematically is, or aesthetically is similar to you.
That's a really good point.
I also want to suggest, my friend Gary has a travel blog of his trip around the world, and he was telling me just moments ago that he really started linking his site in social networks like Dig. He started friending people in Dig and StumbleUpon.com and Blog Catalog. And I would recommend that you research those sites and just do what you can to get noticed outside of other webcomic chains. Don't just try to advertise on other webcomics because especially if you want to link directly to a strip, a permalink strip that you know has a topic that's broader than just
that can get passed around.
Webcomics. Yeah, around in those social networks.
Yeah, in fact, I don't mind admitting this publicly. In my last days at Blank Label, Blank Label was usually by far my biggest referrer as far as a link into Sheldon. But in the last month or two, StumbleUpon became my biggest link and is now hugely my biggest link to Sheldon, usually from about 10 or 15 different strips a day that people are linking into. That alone has become a huge resource for my strip, just StumbleUpon.com.
I've had very much the same experience with StumbleUpon. I started doing it because you were doing it, Dave. In fact, I stole the icons right off of your site. Because it was easy. I've had the exact same very, very positive experience with them.
Yeah. And I know that it's contributed to positive growth from those links because I follow those kind of links through on Google Analytics, and a lot of those people stick around. So do whatever you can, like Scott said, to encourage social networking and social bookmarking because that has proved to be a big resource for me. But as far as advertising goes, though, I think my advice would still be the best, honest to God, the best thing you can do to advertise your site, and this is going to sound so lame, but produce a really good webcomic. The viral nature of the net will respond to good stuff.
That's absolutely right.
Make good things.
And I know that's almost unhelpful to say. It's like, you know what? You know what you got to do to be better in school? Be smarter.
Why don't you stop sucking?
You've got to also do some things that will give people a good excuse to do that kind of viral marketing for you. Right. You know, and not only in your comic, but I always suggest running that blog below your comic. And every now and again, I'll put something out there like since I do a villain-themed strip, a couple times on Friday the 13th, I put out a top 13 list. And it's been like the top 13 best supervillain team-ups. Recently, it was the top 13 sexiest supervillainesses. Well, I didn't choose those topics, out of the thin air. The sexy supervillainous thing was specifically so it would give people an excuse to link in. Hey, take a look at this. This guy thinks Catwoman is sexier than the White Queen, you know, and that sort of thing. And it generates all kinds of feedback and debate. And it's just a good reason to bring people into the strip. So do the comic and then do what you can in the blog to bring people in.
Yeah. Actually, my blog, since I moved from United Media onto the site that Chris designed for me, that the blog alone has such a tremendous power to make people emotionally connected to the strip in ways that even the strip doesn't. And that I find I very often will get links from the from blog content as much as from strip content, you know?
Mm-hmm.
All agree.
I agree as well.
We're on board.
Let's
give another listen to the next voicemail then.
Do it.
All right.
Wow. Go into the button.
This one looks like a long one.
All righty then.
Let's try it.
Hi, my name's Holly. I don't actually have a webcomic to speak of yet. I have a goal to do at least 20 pages before I do any type of website. But I just have a question about personal experiences. Like, how much of yourself do you reveal through your comic strips? I know Scott talks about his mom quite often. Do you typically do you want people to know who you are? Or would you just like to be the person that entertains? That's just my question. It's my concern. Or about myself, anyways. Thanks if you answer this. Bye.
All righty. Good question from Holly. All right, so that one was, in your strip, when you're writing, how much of yourself do you like to reveal? Do you
that
choose
so
to reveal? Do you want to avoid revealing? All that sort of stuff. That's a good question.
Oh, no.
She had it wrong, though. I don't talk about my mom a lot. I talk about my dad a lot.
Yeah, I was going to say, you just talked about your mom for the first time in any kind of depth a week ago or so, right?
Yeah.
That's probably what she was thinking of, yeah.
But, you know, it's funny because I played that voicemail for Angie, and she just kind of rolled her eyes and went, huh. So it made me realize that my first instinct is to share it. And I mean, it's really funny. I had someone tell me recently that I share too much and that it bites me in the butt. And I'm starting to wonder if that's the case. But I never dwell on it too long because I don't know how else to be.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be you.
Exactly.
You got to chase those rainbows.
And that's why I have to tell you guys right now. I ate a whole box of Oreos.
Oh, Scott.
I thought that was going to go in a different direction. I am really into feet. I got to tell you.
Whoa.
I'm glad it didn't go there.
Well, that's what I meant. I was just using Oreo as a code.
You have a special code language.
That's the wink, wink code.
Replace Oreos for feet and
it's in the community.
Smelled.
It's always the formal.
I'll take the different angle on this. Is that I don't reveal too much of myself at all, though. I guess what the Dave that I reveal in the blog is like party Dave, and by that I mean it's like the me that you would talk to
I'll
at a
say.
Party. No, but it's like the it's like the vaguely superficial fun me that'll talk about fun topics on at a party. You know,
but that's bound to happen.
What do you mean? No, it's not. I know a lot of people who will talk about every, like, we've joked about this before.
Oh, no,
the,
no, no.
The cartoonist that talks about every depressive thing.
Oh, right, but that might be them. But I don't know that she meant the blog. I think she meant just in the strip. Like, how much do you take from your own life?
Oh.
Right?
And, yes.
Well, she kind of mentioned Scott's blog posts specifically.
Okay, so just the sharing in general.
What, say again?
We're saying whether it's sharing stuff in your strip or your blog, which one was
right.
She meant.
But well, then you know what? Then if you're asking just about the strip, the easy answer is, of course, it's from your life. Because unless you're constantly reading Winston Churchill biographies and writing a strip about Winston Churchill, you're writing about stuff that happens to you. Or
it's going to work.
Yeah, thoughts that occur to you. I mean, it's all within the framework of the reality of the strip or the worldview that you're presenting within the strip, but it's still a reflection of you.
I would say don't share your phone number or your credit card.
I would say that if you feel comfortable sharing on your blog, that I think it's a wonderful thing to do. My fans always appreciate it. But if you're not comfortable with it, just put it in your strip because you don't ever have to admit when you fictionalize it that it really happened to you. And
yep.
It's an easier way to express
right.
it.
I thought maybe that's what she was saying. Because everybody does that. Or something
yeah.
happened and it's affected you, so you're going to put it in the strip, but not quite
because honestly,
really.
It doesn't matter. Everyone just assumes that whatever I put in my strip really happened to me.
Yeah.
They do that to you too?
Yeah.
Yeah. And Ron? It's and not in a bad way. Yeah.
I was just wondering myself the other day, when did Chris go through an ion storm? and survive?
All the time. At home.
Metaphorically.
Right. With my family.
But even the overall structure of Starslip, though, reflects Chris to a T, don't you think?
Yes.
That's true.
I mean, the interest in sci-fi, the interest in high art, the interest in an overly...
in big words.
A love of language and a big word.
The pretentiousness.
What a polite way of saying it, the love of language. The only time that I really drew on life was when Vanderbeam had his parents visit, and his parents were engineers, and Vanderbeam was the art guy, and his parents couldn't get it. And that is 100% biographical.
Yeah.
But like that, but that makes for good strip material.
But even though Chris, when Jinx does something that's almost unhuman or inhuman, there's an element of that joke that sprung from you and your life, don't you think?
Well, yeah, you can't escape that. I don't think you can write anything that's not inside you to some degree, which is kind of scary. Now that I think about the kind of strips that get produced.
So the next time you read a strip where Skull farts, that's because that was inside me and I had to get it out.
You're like, that's look, you remember that storyline? I really did fart.
I farted that day.
Turns out Scott is incredibly gassy.
That is not a lie. My brother is just walked in and he can confirm that. Plug that into the headset jack so Brian can at least listen.
Plug that into the mic jack so Brian can talk.
Brian, no. You don't need to talk. You're not a webcomic guy, and
this is a closed house.
This is a all ages. You can't curse.
The other four of us are like, Brian, your inside voice. You're sitting and listening. You're not talking.
Hmm? No, it's a general.
Oh boy, I had a really racy story today at work. No, stop.
No, stop. Cut off his mic.
There were
God.
Two sailors. Stop it.
Well, should we go on to the next question? Brad, I'm sorry. Yeah.
I'm just saying don't.
Brad, please.
Brad, I almost cut you off. Brad, I apologize. Brad Geiger, ladies and gentlemen, here he comes. Words of wisdom, Brad Geiger.
I really do think that what she's talking about more has to do with the blog than the comic strip. And moreover, the interaction between you and your audience between you and your audience. And that's something that's really tough, and I grapple with it all the time. You know, I've got two kids, but I make it a point never to use my kids' names on the website.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. And obviously, I've got a wife who really supports the webcomic and is a really big part of why I'm able to do this. But I very rarely, other than like, hey, it's her birthday or it's our anniversary. I don't do a lot of talking about my wife, and sometimes I'm on the fence. Sometimes I look at Scott and how open he's been about his life on his site, and I see how his readers really respond to that. And sometimes I wonder if maybe I need to open up a little bit more about my personal life and use that for its community building power. And part of me thinks I'm not a very open person, and I'm not that comfortable sharing details about my life.
I don't think you should.
Even if it does mean community building and that sort of thing. So this is the question that she asked is something that I very much grapple with all the time, and I've not come up with a really good answer for.
I tend to work out my problems by thinking them out loud and discussing them with people. Like I go over them with people and. It's not that I'm actually looking for advice. It's just that's my process of working it out in my head. So I do a lot of public posing of thoughts and questions. But if you're not that kind of a person, I mean, I think it's just like where we discuss whether or not you would force interest in a genre to base your strip off of. You can't force whether you're
open.
A person that's open and wants to share.
It's not even a question of openness. It's just whether or not you want to share that with people you don't know.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of where it comes from with me. But like I said, I really do envy the relationship Scott's got with his audience, warts and all. I mean, I also realize that a lot of times that comes with a lot of baggage for you, Scott. And sometimes the interaction isn't always that pleasant. But, you know, it I don't know. It's something that I'm still working through.
I like it. I think overall the goods outweigh the bads. I mean, ask Chris when we were in Baltimore and all that support I got from fans you know? That, yeah. That was...
I think a big part of it is, and then we start to drift into another topic, but a big part of it is controlling the way in which what you say is received. And when you took your comments down and didn't let people be jerks on your blog post anymore.
That was a key to making that being open, you know, work for me, is because this isn't a discussion. This isn't a dialogue between us. This is a singular statement on my part.
Right. And it's...
Go ahead, Chris.
I was going to say, and it's not like people were coming in there going, Scott, you're an idiot for feeling that way about your mom. You know, if they came in to mess everything up, I'm stepping around all the colloquialisms. I'm trying not to cuss. But when they came in there and did that, it was because they wanted to get at you. It wasn't because they had an issue with what you were saying.
It wouldn't have mattered they just what wanted I was to talking fight. About. I could have been talking about milk. They would have come in and gone, oh, I know what you're saying. You're saying water is for jerks. I hate you.
But I have the same issues with – I've got a shout box on my site. And if I get negative comments, it's always through the shout box, you know. And that's something that – is very visible, and it's always very embarrassing for me to get a negative comment down there, or to get someone post a "I don't get it" down there. That would be something I'd so much rather get through a private email, you know. Yeah. But at the same time, I really the reason it's there is that I really do kind of believe in trying to have that open communication with my audience. But again, then I see Scott take his down. I'm like, geez, maybe I'm not thinking this all the way through. Those are two issues that I'm very much in flux about.
But you know what, Brad? You do share your con experiences. And granted, you don't talk about your deep feelings about it. But you do share what you go through and what you've done.
Oh, yeah. If it's comic related, I'll share it indubitably. But not family related, you know. I don't. There's not too many people who read my strip that know too much about my family at all.
Yeah. And like Scott said though, that's just a matter of comfort level. And if you're comfortable doing it, then by all means. But I don't know that I could ever force that and share about my family or my personal life. You know what it is too? Is this is going to sound really cynical? Maybe it is. I don't know that I trust people.
There's an element of that.
Trust them to what? To not take the information and use it against you later?
No, I guess I should say it this way. I trust individuals, but in a mass enough quantity of people, I don't know that I trust an individual within 10,000, 20,000, 30,000 people. You know, there's odd and weird people in the world, and I just don't feel comfortable putting personal information out in the world.
Yeah, it's probably smart.
Well, I think we can all agree that it's important to share your feelings with yourself. See you later.
No, I mean, and maybe this is true. This is true in my own private life too. Is that I maybe have a core of 2, 3, 5 people, and really it comes down to pretty much just my wife that I feel comfortable trusting certain things with. And my job as an entertainer is to not necessarily develop a deep and abiding relationship of my problems with them. My job as an entertainer is to entertain them. You know.
Yeah,
there's,
I see.
Everyone thinks that I share everything, and I don't. There's a lot I don't share. There's a lot that goes on that nobody knows about. And,
oh, Scott, I'm not critiquing you.
No. I just want. That wasn't in response to something you said. I just want everyone to know that, even as open as I am, you might not realize that there's. I'm only being as open as I feel safe with as well.
Yeah. Well, like you said, I think that's the best advice that we could give, Scott, is what you said at the beginning, which is you can only do what you're comfortable doing. And anything past that, you'll either hate yourself for revealing it or hate yourself for not revealing it. So find a level you're comfortable with. Every cartoonist at every level, like Robert Crumb, we probably know too much about his personal life. But for 10,000 reasons, it works, you know? But I know absolutely nothing about Bill Amon's life, but I know everything about Robert Crumb's life, you know. It just depends on what type of cartoonist you are.
Well, it's funny. It's one of those things that I really think it's one of those rare instances where my Midwest does not come out, because the Midwest tendency is to walk up to a complete stranger and tell them every last detail about your life. You know, it's like –
Hey, thanks for holding the door open to me. You know, I'm coming into the bank to draw out a big withdrawal because, you know, I've got a lot of bills to pay, and you'd never believe how much you can throw away at those casinos. And, yeah, you know, I thought I had an 8 down, but it was really a 10, and holy cat, you know.
That sounds like my mom.
My mom is incredible at doing this, you know, yeah. And you'll stand there and she'll be talking with a total stranger at a store. And it's like, just ask her if they've got the canned peas.
It's my dad too. You know, I'm from California, Watsonville, California. Maybe it's not, but
Brad, to analyze your mom though, was she that way with everyone, or did she not have a lot of people to talk to and that sort of thing?
This goes a little bit in a left-hand turn. We grew up in a really, really small town in which everybody knew everybody. So it was
and the very trust level, natural. Yeah.
There's a huge trust level, and then when, you know, she'd come to Philadelphia and walk into a store and immediately treat people as if she was in Bad Axe, you know, and people would be, you know, standing aback like, is this person dangerous? On the East Coast, there's a whole different response to a stranger that comes up and starts talking to you.
Up where I was
brought up, that's the proper way to behave. You would be a real jerk if you didn't behave that way. Over here, you're almost looked at as a mental case.
This is a perfect opportunity, Dave, for you to do your Midwestern Brad Geiger voice.
Oh, Brad, you know, I just think it's great the way you tell. Oh, listen, this goiter is acting up, but I'm going to get it looked at next week to that doctor. Okay, you know, I just got my big Christmas bonus check, and it turned out to be $1,200. I've got it in my pocket right now. Oh, it's no big deal. I'm happy to show it to you. Here it is. Hey, you look like a
nice. Hold on for a little while.
Hey, how many bullets are in that gun? That looks like a nice one right there. Oh, sure. Hey, listen, while you're taking that money from you, why don't I go get you a sandwich with the couple of dollars I have in my pocket? That sounds great. I sure do love this. Everybody in this Philadelphia town is so nice. Oh, gosh. Oh, gosh. All right, that's enough of the Midwest. Wow. This Midwest moment has been brought to you by Farmers Insurance. Yes, Farmers Insurance, bringing you safe insurance for 120 years. All right, moving on to the next question. Bitty, body, boom.
Should we do audio, or we got anything in the mailbag?
Oh, I got one in the mailbag, then we can go back to audio. How's that? Does that work for you guys?
Yeah. Yes.
All right, this question comes to us from Chris Murin. It's, his question is, do you guys ever ask fans to help you spread the word about your comics? If so, in what ways? If not, what are the most helpful things fans can do on their own to help increase your readership? And this kind of goes along to what we were talking about before, so maybe this is a better way to springboard off of that.
If yes, then don't.
If yes, press
then
1.
Can.
Excellent. I think you said ask fans to spread the word. Is this correct?
No.
You chose 2 child tickets to I Am Legend. Are you
chose, a You chose no. offer PDF advertisements for fans to place in their apartment complex. Is this correct?
Operator.
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 You've officially changed your name to Targus. Is this
Cancel
correct?
Cancel card. So
you've selected delete bank funds. Is this correct?
No.
Excellent.
Oh, Garcia. Oh, yeah, that's so correct. You can go ahead.
Gracious. Every time you sell a T-shirt, you do. If you put your URL in the back of it. No, seriously though.
I don't know how well that works. But why not? I mean, that can be as simple as making something that people want to share. We already talked about that.
Meredith Grand recently asked her fans. She offered a prize to the person that promoted her strip the most creatively and sent her a link or a
picture or whatever.
Yeah. I think that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
You do. I think you are always actively asking your audience to spread the word. But I've never set forth to just kind of give them a task, like a mission.
Right.
Should they accept it?
I think Meredith kind of walks the line there. I mean, she is offering something. She's making it a contest. She's making it something fun, and clearly her readers are up for it. But you've got to really be careful because you're playing with fire there. You know, in my opinion, that can back turn on you.
really quickly. People get tired of. I think people almost are going to resent if you start asking too much for them to start doing all this stuff as a requisite of reading their comic.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's that's true.
In the same degree as the donation. You know, if people are compelled to give a donation, that's okay. But none of us run the PBS-style donation pledge drive. And there's a reason for that. People would really get annoyed by it. So if you want to run a contest or something like that, that's great. I think I'm more comfortable with something we said earlier. Just do the kind of comic that people are going to want to promote. And give them excuses to promote it in different ways, and that's going to pay off a whole lot more, I think, than overtly coming out and saying, yeah, do this thing for me, you know.
There are probably creative ways to do it, like a widget people can put on their MySpace page that displays the strip, or something as simple as link banners that you offer that people can link back to your site with, but to actively seek their kind of to mobilize them to anything that mobilizes them to go out of their way to do something to promote the strip is really akin to that same feeling you get, like Brad said, when you deal with the PBS fundraiser sections where you're asking for you're essentially begging for their support, and that is certainly a line that you can no longer cross once you become profitable and on your own.
But you know what?
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, Brad, that if you do ever do it in terms of asking your readers for their help, I think that the two-prong thing would be, A, you better do it really rarely, like once a year or less. And then I think the second thing would probably be you have to in some way I don't know if remunerate is the right word or remunerate, but you have to in some way pay them back, whether it just be everybody that participates gets a free wallpaper or a free download of something, and then the one winner gets something really cool. You know, that way at least everybody says, all right, he's not being a jerk about it. He's given me this or that, and so it's worth it.
Yeah, you're turning it into something fun. You're giving them a little quid pro quo.
I guess the days of the old-fashioned fan clubs are kind of done, huh?
Yeah, they are.
Why couldn't we make a fan club work for webcomics?
Well, like, what? Remind me, what did an old fan club? You used to get like a decoder ring and a membership card, and
like a little diploma.
All I know is that I belong to the Star Wars fan club, and I got Bantha tracks every month, and occasionally cool patches and stickers.
Yeah,
and I was a part of the fan club.
Bantha tracks. What was that? The animal that was looked like an elephant with a fur coat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and they had a newsletter that came out every month, and it was called Bantha tracks.
Nice.
I like how they picked like the lamest Star Wars animal.
I know.
And they sent me a poster of Empire Strikes Back, and I did not take care of it. And if I still had that, oh my God.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. It was the one of Han and Leia kissing. Oh, why didn't I keep that?
Well, that could be done for pretty cheap. You do, you know, because stickers are not that expensive to produce. And
it would just be time consuming. But if that's, again, that's servicing the fan as opposed to.
Yeah. And you know what? If I can reference what is widely acclaimed to be a good book, but I found to be sort of a so-so read, was in The Tipping Point. Remember, Chris, we were reading about and talking about this recently. They talk about certain kinds of people that are connectors towards things happening, good things happening, publicity being spread.
Right.
And you will find in your readership that even among super fans, there are certain kinds of people with certain kinds of jobs that'll suddenly email you and say, "Hey, if you want, I'll do XYZ." And you're like, "What? You work for Google? You can make that happen? Oh my God. Yes. All right." And those kind of people, those connectors of good things happening, you want to nourish those relationships, don't you think?
Yeah. I think one thing is for sure. Yeah, I think you definitely want to in your walking of the line, make it very easy for people who decide that they want to promote your site. In other words, I've got things posted. In fact, I haven't relinked to them in a while, but I've got different places where you can download a PDF, printer friendly PDF that you can post around campus with little takeaways of the URL. And you can have a number of ways that you can. Somebody mentioned the banner ads and the link buttons and stuff like that. A number of ways make it very, very easy. If somebody wants to help you out, make it real easy for them. But as far as overtly coming out and asking them to use those, that's a little bit more tricky as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Do all you guys, just out of curiosity, do you all have PDFs that someone could use on campus, like a college campus?
I had one once, but I don't now. I need to start it again.
Every time I do that, every time I think about it, I get terrified. Every what? Idea I have to do that kind of promotion is like, here's some stickers, put them up everywhere. No, that's going to come back to bite me in the butt.
How could flyers bite you?
I don't know.
Just because some campus will be like, this didn't get approved,
like,
or something.
Why is this up?
Then they'll tear them down.
Like it, and then I'm...
Then they'll tear them down. I That's killed true. A
and
man
it's not
with
like...
your flyers.
And it's got. It's not like the University of Virginia is going to come hunting you down in Texas, you know?
That's true.
What can they do to you?
Well, let me ask you guys a more general question.
But no, because I only asked this because I haven't done the PDF myself, so it's not like me being...
I don't know that they would... How would they do anything? They just take your thing down.
They would just take it down,
I don't think
yeah.
any... And if any fan was so zealous that he said, no, I'm going to put 1,000 up, and it really caused trouble, then he's the one to get into trouble. It's not like you're telling him to break the law to help you out.
You know what's kept me from doing it, in all honesty, is that I always have like 5 things on my plate, and my thinking is always like... Who is honestly going to see a website on a printout, tear off the little like apartment kind of call in type thing on the bottom, and then go to their website or go to their browser and type it in?
That's
like,
why you need to put on there acoustic guitar for sale, $80, also Rich Sheldon.
3-bedroom apartment, you know.
Right.
yeah.
Moving, sale, mattress.
4 cheerleaders need roommate. Yeah, exactly.
Right. What I was going to ask was how. Let's step back a moment and think about this because it came up twice during this podcast. How does it come off as arrogant or insensitive to say for us to say the best thing you could do is make good work, and then the other things will. I mean, maybe they won't happen, but they will happen much easier. You know,
we're going to get another voice message. It'll be like. Thanks for answering my question, but I have a follow-up question. What if you don't do good work?
Right. Now what do I do?
Now what?
What are my options?
Well, we have given some, but like I'll be honest here. I think Scott does better work than I do at the moment, and so I think he's getting better links than I would. I think Akewood's doing better work than I am, and so he's getting better links and better Time magazine references than I am. You know, I mean, you just have to be honest about what level of work you're producing. And you'll see that the links are commensurate, I think.
I think I'm webcomics' best-kept secret, Dave. Why is that secret not out yet?
Why is Chris not out of the closet? What does it matter? This is not
No, not that secret.
Oh, not that one. Not, oh, God.
Dave was kidding.
No, but I'm serious about that. I mean, there's all we all 4 of us have a strip where we're like, how is that guy doing getting more press than I am? But for the most part, if the work is good and it taps into an audience or a fan base that works for it, then you can see why word spreads about it without being too jealous, you know?
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. I wasn't speaking to jealousy though, Dave.
Except for Akewood. Don't get it. Never will. No, I'm just kidding.
Scott Kurtz, loving man.
He turned me down for a podcast. What Confidential, Webcomics Confidential, because of what I said on about his strip earlier this year on another podcast. So I was referencing that. Love you, Chris. Love your work. Akewood's awesome. I actually do really like it.
You have been reading it. I think it's tremendous.
I've been reading it. Yes.
But it's hard to get into.
You helped me get into it.
It is hard to get into, but I do think it's one of the best written things going right now.
Once Chris got me into it and we sat down kind of and looked at it and he was showing me.
There was some good stuff.
Oh, there was there's some stuff in there that's great.
That you can hook into right away.
Yes. It's very funny.
But enough kissing his butt.
Kissing Chris Onstad. Is it Onstad?
Yeah.
Onstad. Anyway, his butt. Next question.
Is an audio file, I think, yes.
I don't know. I don't remember which of these I did and didn't do.
Oh.
Oh, yes, I do. Provided that it's actually a question. Let's take a listen, shall we?
Here we go. Brought to you by Mobile Gas.
Hey, Scott. First time caller, long time listener. Just want to let you know that I liked the Kringus strip with Santa. I thought Santa deflecting the little toy darts. Looked very Jack Kirby-esque. Nice job with that. Hope you have a great day and keep up the good work. Thank you.
What the heck? How is that on purpose?
What?
That's Scott paid his neighbor $5 to call in. That's great.
Thank you for that question. And to answer your question, yes.
You jerk.
I thought that was a great question. That's why I included it.
The next one's going to be like, hi, Dave, first-time caller. Hey, listen, why does your strip suck so hardcore? I'm like, God, Scott! Oh.
I can't help it.
These are the calls, Dave. These are the calls.
This one could be a real one. Let's try it.
Well, hold on. Before we go too much further, what are we sending at time?
Oh.
We have been recording for... Hold on, Brian. Brian! We've been recording for 45 minutes and 30 seconds. So we should be good still.
All righty.
You want to do one more?
You want to do one more question?
One more.
Let's
do one more.
Scott, how did you get to be so handsome?
Well, I'll tell you.
Hey, guys. First time, long time. I do not have a webcomic yet. And please talk to me like an idiot because I don't know nearly what I should, but I'm prepared to learn. What do I need in a hosting service? Thank you so much.
Brad, I'm going to let you repeat that one because I didn't actually hear it.
It was a little bit faint, but I heard the words hosting service. He wants to know how to find a good hosting service for his webcomic.
That's a tough one. Well, actually,
is it really?
It's not that tough.
I don't think
it might
that
be tough
anymore
just
because
there's so many options to choose from.
I'll rattle some off the top of my head. I hear DreamHost is beloved.
I love
by many.
DreamHost.
Everybody loves DreamHost.
The thing that I was trying to make it general or to answer it generally is what to look for.
Yeah.
This bandwidth is so cheap now.
It is, but you need to understand that unlimited bandwidth does not mean that it's free. It
right.
means they won't cut you off
it
if you go over.
It's called unmetered. They'll call it unmetered. It
yeah.
sounds like unlimited. But
oh,
it's
does
not.
It? Because
yeah.
I've seen people say unlimited bandwidth, and I know they don't mean
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but what about like burst? They're not doing that.
What now?
You know, like how many can hit within a certain amount of time?
Oh, so it's unlimited bandwidth,
it's unlimited
but it's only
if it's always a trickle.
It's a 2 megabit.
Right, it's just
pipe.
A tiny. Anyway,
so is it kind of like they'll say like all you can eat until they see that some 700-pound guy come in? They're like, oh no, it's not all you can eat. They kind of backtrack on it.
Exactly.
I have to edit out the S word.
Oh, did I say? Oh God, sorry.
Yes, you did. It wasn't me. I'm so excited. I did not curse this week.
I'm sorry.
Well, the seal has been broken.
Can we curse now? Can we curse now?
No. I don't know that the seal has been broken. It's just me going into full sailor mode. I'm like, Arr!
Oh, you're the dad from A Christmas Story.
And then you hear Brad in the background going, oh, gosh, Dave, no, don't come back to us. Gosh. Oh, Dave, no, you don't want to be saying that. I'm not in the public. Oh, they're children listening. Oh, gosh.
This is time for my Southern Baptist voice.
Dave rebuilt my trust with that voice.
Dave, Jesus does not like it. When you use those curse words.
There it is.
I don't know what it's like about you with you guys in California. It's not the same as here in Texas. I know that, now, Dave, I don't know what life is like in California. I know that you guys drink the urine of goats and you worship homosexuals. I know that. I know that much. I know.
That is true.
That's true. But I don't know how you feel about cursing. But we in the great state of, great country of Texas.
As we like to say. Anyway, I hope that answered your question about hosting. And
anyway, so hosting.
Let's call it a night.
Hosting, goat urine, and bandwidth. Yeah.
Look
so check
for,
it out.
What? I to be
it's,
honest, I would.
It's so broad.
It's very broad.
What you will be offered, I don't know that you would be able to find less than a half a gig of storage space. And I don't know that you would need a quarter of a gig.
Yeah.
Bandwidth is important, but I don't know that you would be able to find one, especially if you're just starting out. That doesn't serve your needs.
I can log into Plesk, but I will tell you what 10 years worth of archives counts as far as storage space. I think it's like 4 gigs total, and I have.
You will easily be able to find a host that gives you more than that for cheap. There's hosting for like $6 a month.
For a starting out webcomic, you shouldn't have to pay more than $10 a month.
Yeah, no more than 10. That is the maximum. I'm paying. I have an enormous hosting setup.
And I pay, I think I'm paying $22 a month, but I can run everything from it.
You're only paying $22 a month?
Yeah. But it's shared, so I'm worried that I'm going to bring down interpreter or whatever. But
so here's the three things you need to look at, which you won't have to worry about as you're starting.
Fun, giggles, and laughs. Now,
smile time.
Your bandwidth, how it's metered, how much storage you get, and whether you're on shared or dedicated hosting, right?
And for somebody starting out, you do not need dedicated.
No, you do
you
not.
You never need dedicated.
No.
And the price will let you know that, because it's like $600 a month.
That'll be the key to knowing whether it's needed.
Which one should
pick? 10 years worth of PvP website. And keep in mind, I think the site copied two or three times on this server because whenever I put up a new iteration of the website, I just moved the existing one into an old folder and never delete it. 5.2 gigs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how much I've used. That's 10 years.
And that's nothing.
That's nothing. I think it's got 160 gigabytes.
My hosting, I think I have a terabyte. I think that's what they give me. I will not fill that.
Just bandwidth. Keep in mind that most places, the bandwidth is either going to be metered or maxed out somehow. It's either going to be unlimited, but the pipe is small, meaning it doesn't matter how much gigabytes of transfer you do per month, but the pipe is small, so only five people can look at your website at once before the site slows down to a crawl.
Yeah.
Or you can have a huge pipe to it where it doesn't matter how many people hit it or if you get slash dotted, they'll all get the web page with no slowdown. But your bandwidth is capped. You know, like once you do a certain amount of data transfer, they cut you off, or they don't cut you off and you're just billed at a rate. Like I know for me it's 60 cents a gigabyte if I go over 2,000 gigs.
Do you remember when everybody was doing those Switch ad parodies?
Yeah.
And Penny Arcade linked to mine?
Yes.
And I ate my bandwidth that day for the whole month. It was the start of the month. And at the time, my host charged me $6 a gig over.
Ooh.
So, and I was like, I don't want to, my comic is down. I gotta pay it and take the ad down, take the video down, and mirror it. Other people mirrored it for me. But what could I do? I spent like $100 that month.
I don't even think that's the case anymore, though.
Oh, no. I mean, like you said, your host is making you pay 60 cents a gig.
Yeah. And I'm on a dedicated...
What are you going to run into? You may pay $20 over if you have a banner month.
Yeah.
You know, that's not a big deal anymore.
Yeah.
Hey, can I ask a different question, guys? And this is for foreign web cartoonists. If you did a strip that's in English and you're living in Australia or New Zealand or Canada or Europe, would you guys recommend to them that they host in the U.S. given that the size of the audience comparative to the rest of the world?
I don't think it matters.
It doesn't make any difference in the world. My old host was in Canada.
I'm hosted. PvP is currently hosted in Canada.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, cause that distance is not that much faster, but I mean...
In terms of data speed?
Yeah.
I don't know that you really... There's no difference.
No, it doesn't matter.
I don't know
there
why it would
no
make
difference.
A big difference.
The only difference if you host in Canada is I noticed that my About
please.
Page became the Aboot page. Aboot PvP, eh?
Get it?
Well, I know. There's a couple of Australian comics that I hit every now and again, and it seems to take longer for them to load. And maybe it's just that their sites aren't optimized.
Consider this, though. I mean, that might be just their hosting. I mean, their server might be slow, but that doesn't have anything to do with distance. You can have a phone call with somebody in Australia, and there is a minor delay in your speech, but not enough to mess anybody up.
Huh, I never thought about that.
It's so slight, but it is longer.
Well, there was a really popular Australian website that was popular when I first started posting called SevTrek, which was do you remember that?
I remember
that. And that was hosted in Australia, and there was never any slowdown.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter.
I don't think
The one I'm thinking of is that huge Australian comic strip, Beyond the Black Stump. Have you ever read that one?
No, but I'm going to go look now.
It's really popular in Australia, and it's very well drawn, but it always takes forever. And it's this really simple little site, but I always assume that it's the physical distance that makes that signal travel
so
slow.
It might be being hosted from like a 386 on a shelf somewhere. Who knows?
They're out hunting kangaroos rather than upgrading.
Oh, you're such a racist, Dave. I can't believe it. I made a computer joke, and you went immediately to ethnicity.
Ethnicity? How is that in any way ethnicity?
I love this so far. I love the artwork.
Yeah, it's Beyond the Black Stump is good, but you also wouldn't consider the cost of hosting based on the U.S. dollar versus any other form of money right now in the world.
Well, it's possible that it would be cheaper. I certainly don't see a benefit. There's no benefit to being hosted in the U.S. as opposed to somewhere else. But I don't know that that means that somewhere else is better than the U.S. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because there's a couple countries where the general, and by that I just mean the baseline speeds, are much higher, right? France is much higher. Who else is much
higher? Korea is the fastest.
Korea is by far the fastest.
What, their network? Well, but the second that your American readers, the data ends up on our old network, then it doesn't matter.
Yeah. I like how you said it, like our old broke down network.
Our network is terrible. Don't we have like the lamest telecommunications network in the world? America
yes,
does.
It's because everybody else leapfrogged us.
Yeah.
It's like there are certain third world countries that completely leapfrogged landlines entirely and just went straight to 3G. And it's like the U.S. is like, oh, yeah, no, we're still having trouble getting onto this 3G. I love that voice, Brad. I've been doing it around the house. My wife has started saying, stop doing Brad Geiger. I'm like, it's not even that.
God, that laugh is unbelievable.
Well, what do you say, Laddie Bucks, on my stupid question about speeds worldwide?
Oh, I think it's a good place to start the podcast.
Oh, sure. With a hug and a kiss from Brad, maybe we send it off on another week of the Webcomics Weekly. Oh,
you
sure.
Let's say the Webcomics Weekly.
Now you sound like the guy from Ed, Edd n Eddy.
Ed, isn't it, really?
The big dumb guy.
This is my Webcomics Weekly. You've been listening to Dave Kellett at
Webcomics.com. If it ships for me, it'll ship for you.
what?
I said if it ships for me, sorry, I'm in a shipping state of mind. I said if it ships for me, it'll ship for you.
Ship with a P.
Brad Geiger with evil-inc.com. Or wait, evil-comic.com.
No!
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Here we go.
Bum, bum, ba-dum.
Chris Straub with starslip.com.
That'll
and
work.
And me with PvP. Something. Who cares?
Something horse
it's
dancer.
Over. Last Webcomics Weekly. Hope you guys enjoyed it.
What?
I don't know. It's falling apart.
Take it easy. It's just
Christmas. Oh, listen. I forgot to give my big pro tip for the week. What a bummer we stopped recording.
No, we didn't.
Oh, we didn't? Oh, I'll give my big pro tip then. If you ever want to really maintain and invest in and develop your friendships with other cartoonists, get three of your best friend cartoonists and write a book with them, because there is nothing better towards bringing people together.
Yes.
And where you look forward to each other's phone calls and emails more than writing a book together. And let me tell you, that is joy on a plate.
It's been great. It's been the best.
It's awesome.
We love each other right now. We are so huggy.
And there's no stress, too.
And there's no stress to make
there's
this
There's nothing
go
about this season that adds any
is
trouble.
Is it really coming through in the podcast right now?
What?
I don't know. Who cares?
Our next question. That's a stupid question, Dave.
The way you say it is so stupid, I don't even care.
I actually think it's to our credit that despite if you get four creative people doing anything together and there's going to be frustrations. I think it's a credit to our friendships that we're all doing this well.
It was really funny because I got a call today from someone that I used to work with at my last day job before I started webcomics. Her name is Bonnie and she works at the radio station I used to work at. And I'm kind of catching up with those people. And so she called and she's like, well, what happened this year and how was your year? And I told her everything that happened and there was a pause and she goes, Scott, that's a lot to go through in 1 year. That's a lot. You guys really weathered the storm. And I was like, oh, my God, you're right. It's been a horrible year. I mean,
it's been rough.
It's been a tough year. It's been good. Like, we've come through strong.
We've learned.
But it's been a tough year all around, on all fronts. And so I think we're all kind of frazzled at the tips.
Yeah.
And so... What, Brian?
But there's a lot of love, right? Chris, tell me there's a lot of love.
Meh.
Chris,
talk to me in January.
Talk to me in January.
Let's see how I feel then.
Chris just hangs up on me. I'll talk to you later. Click.
Where's my money?
This is good that we're airing this on on the podcast so people know that we're human. It's like in that scene of Batman where they go, body armor, he's human after all.
Take off that mask.
I want to see. Vicky Vale.
We're just four simple guys trying to make it in this crazy world. That's all.
Some of us are better at turning in chapters than others. I'm just saying.
That's right. Take it easy, guys.
Hugs.
Not drugs.
Webcomics Weekly. Don't forget to call our tip line, 214-717-5487. That is 214-717-5487. Regular long-distance charges apply.
Nice.
Nice. Nicely done.
Thanks, guys.
Smell you later.
Super kisses.
Yeah. Guys, later.
All right. Bye, guys.
You little bastards better buy this book.
Jeez. Don't end it on that note. God.
Have a question, comment, or tip? Call the Webcomics Weekly hotline at 214-717-5487. We might play your message on the show.